Hey, Ron and Annie and the Car Doctor rolling along this hour. Thanks for spending some time with us this weekend. And I appreciate it each and every weekend. And for all of you that take the time to include me in part of your listening time, your self-care time, as it were. And I hope you're getting something out of this. And I know I do. I enjoy talking to each and every one of you each and every week. So let's just pull over without any further ado and a great deal of fuss and go talk to Paul Eisenstein, the DetroitBureau.com. It's always a pleasure to have Paul with us, and we're glad he took some time out today to spend it with us. Paul, welcome back, sir.
Hey, good to be with you.
What's going on in the world of Paul Eisenstein?
Oh, man.
Loaded question, right?
Taking a bit of a break. I'm actually out at a cottage today doing about 3 hours of kayaking. Just came in to catch you.
Oh, cool. I see a lot of things going on in the automotive world. I've been reading the DetroitBureau.com every day faithfully, and some of the stories there are just they're a little nerve-wracking. This thing with Mercedes and the gray zone and autonomous technologies. Can you talk to us about that?
Yeah, well, you know, this is an interesting story. I think one of the most significant pieces I've done in quite a while. First of all, I got a chance this past week to drive the new Mercedes E300. Are you familiar with that car at all?
Not yet, no. That's why I was reading the article.
Yeah, well, the E300 is the latest update of Mercedes, a very popular midsize sedan. And it is loaded with so much technology, they reasonably claim it to be the most intelligent car in the world. Now, it has the ability not only to detect a potential collision going forward, but to apply the brakes. It can detect pedestrians. It can detect pedestrians when you back up. It can tell whether or not a car might accidentally hit you from the side. Here's something interesting. It has the ability to actually push you toward the center of the vehicle, away from the door, in case you're about to be hit from the side, T-boned.
How is it going to do that? What, has it got an inflatable bag?
Well, it uses radar to be able to tell that somebody is running a red light, let's say, or a stop sign. But then it uses the bladder in the seats. You know, it has those little bolsters on the side that actually inflate almost instantaneously to push you about 3 inches towards the center, away from the door. Now, one of the other features that they have is called steering assist. So, for example, let's say there's a collision, it can actually help steer you around it. And there's another feature, which is something that a lot of folks, I think, are going to find interesting. It has a steering system that, let's say you're on an interstate, and you're coming up on the guy in front of you, and the guy's going slow, and you want to pass. Well, instead of actually having to steer yourself around the car in front, you simply tap on the turn signal, wait 2 seconds, and this car will pass and then pull back into your lane.
Don't you think we're creating, you know, it almost seems like T-ball from the 80s, right? Everybody gets a trophy, everybody wins. Don't you think we're creating an environment or, you know, we're creating distracted driving?
This is a very interesting thing. It gets back to the subject that you asked me about, this gray area. Now, if you look at some of the estimates out there, there are those who believe that all the autonomous technology coming could virtually eliminate highway fatalities. And the reality is around 90% of all crashes are the result of human error. So we talk about, oh, shouldn't humans keep driving? Well, the fact is, we're responsible for most of the crashes. And there are about 33,000 people a year dying, most of those, because of human mistakes.
Right.
So the argument is that technology can do a better job, particularly when people are driving on the freeway, they're stuck in traffic, they tend to get distracted and so on. Are you familiar with forward collision warning or forward emergency braking?
Yep.
Well, the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety recently did a study, and they compared identical cars with and without the technology, because, you know, it's optional on a lot of vehicles. And those that had auto emergency braking had 32% fewer forward crashes.
Wow. But at what price, Paul? Because then, you know, part of this conversation has to be, okay, we can put something as complicated or more complicated than the space shuttle in your driveway. Who's going to fix it? And at what price?
That is an interesting question. Now, you already have more lines of software code in your vehicle than the shuttle. You have more lines of code than the brand new Air Force F-35. It's over 100 million lines of code. The interesting thing is that all these new features are, to a large degree, using the same technology that we had a year or two ago in your vehicle. In other words, if your car had a camera, it's just getting smarter about using that camera or that laser or that radar. There'll be a few more pieces of hardware, but a lot of what's coming will be using software rather than hardware. And as you know, Tesla has already gotten to the point where if they have a problem, they can update it remotely through what's called OTA,
right,
over-the-air updates, very similar to what happens with your smartphone.
And I think that's great. I think, you know what, I think if sometimes I think Tesla is picked on for what they're trying to do, because I think they are sort of turning the world on its ear, and I think they have that ability to really achieve some great things. And
they're doing some great things, and there's some downsides. I'm going to be reporting soon about some quality issues that they have, but look for that in an upcoming story on the DetroitBureau.com.
Did you ever stop to think, Paul, things like what Tesla's doing are really, you know, development of the electric vehicle, not just for here, but I always look at it, I'm a little bit of a science fiction buff, but I think about it, you know, are we trying to take that electronic technology to other planets when we go to Mars and the rest of the universe? You wonder, right?
Well, you'll probably have that technology show up in all sorts of things.
Yeah.
We mentioned the space shuttle and the F-35. Look at the SpaceX rocket that Elon Musk's other company has. It just recently landed, I think, a second time successfully after the first stage booster separated and sent the satellite into orbit. The booster landed on a platform out in the ocean.
Yeah.
So, yeah, everything's getting smarter. Your home's getting smarter.
Yep.
Now, here's the real concern. How do you deal with the issue of legislation? How do you deal with regulations and rules? And traditionally, Ron, the feds took the lead. In other words, you didn't do anything as an automaker unless it was already essentially mandated. Simply changing a warning light color in a vehicle might have required a year or two of study and rulemaking before you were allowed to, say, go from blue to red or red to blue. Now, the new head of NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, a guy named Mark Roskind, is taking a very different approach. He is cracking down on safety lapses, you know, with the Takata airbag mess, the General Motors ignition switch mess, and so on. But he's also saying to automakers, we're going to give you more free rein to start developing and using some of these new technologies in your car before we do the regulations, because the regulations could take 5 years for technology that's available today and ready to save lives now.
Right, and that's what they're chasing. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
And to your point before, there's a lot of technology, there's a lot of software. We know that cell phones don't always work right, that our laptops and tablets don't always work right. So the question is, are we pushing a little too far out there? And I found it interesting. The Mercedes people said they were worried about some technology. They decided not to put it in their new car, the new E-Class, because they thought they did maybe go a little bit too far.
Well, and I think it's coming down to the point of whether it's an independent repair shop or a dealership, the level of technician is only going to be so far. I mean, they can only go so, you know, to this level. Who's going to fix it?
That's an issue.
And
of course,
yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, the cost of the technology when it does go bad. The good news is all the hardware that's needed for all these systems, the cameras, the laser units, LIDAR they call some of the new laser technologies, the radar and everything else, those costs are coming down, which is why you're seeing a lot of this technology show up in more mainstream vehicles.
Look, right.
When ABS first came to market, 25, almost 30 years ago. You've been around long enough, you probably remember. It was a $1,700 option BMW 7 Series.
And now it's a fraction of that. Hey, Paul, we're going to pull over and take a pause. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about Volkswagen and their concept of 30 battery cars by 2025. So
absolutely.
Stay tuned, and we'll be right back. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, with Paul Eisenstein of the Detroit Bureau, DetroitBureau.com. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back. Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor, here with Paul Eisenstein of the Detroit Bureau, DetroitBureau.com. Chatting it up as always. Paul, we pulled away and we were talking about, we wanted to get into a little bit with our time left, Volkswagen. You know, one of the articles on the website, the DetroitBureau.com, VW set to launch over 30 battery cars by 2025.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Well, you know, not to be blunt, but don't they have enough problems making diesels? Now they want to worry about electric cars?
Yeah, well, I think maybe that's why they're talking about it. In fact, the settlement that they're supposed to announce with the feds here in the U.S., to solve their diesel problem is going to involve them agreeing to do more to clean up their emissions. So that's one of the reasons they're going to be launching more electric cars. Remember, these are going to be all sorts of different brands. So we'll see. Believe it or not, we're about to see a Bentley plug-in hybrid. Remember, Bentley is owned by VW. We're going to see the Porsche Mission E, a Tesla fighter built by Porsche. And, of course, plenty of vehicles under the VW brand.
But how can you ask this? You know, their stock just took a serious hit, right?
Mm-hmm.
How deep can their pockets be that they can afford this technology?
Well, that's an interesting question. They are hurting a bit. In fact, there's some talk that they may sell off some of their assets to help cover for the disaster with the diesel. But I think that the reality is that everybody is going to be spending a lot of money to electrify. Believe it or not, we're going to see a lot more electric cars going forward. Even Volvo. I had a chance to drive the new Volvo S90 sedan, and I broke a story that they are getting ready to roll out a bunch of electric vehicles from the Volvo brand as well.
Isn't it going to be interesting to see... And, you know, and I look at this and I say the price of gasoline is going to change because the barrel of oil is going to become less because we're going to have more electric cars and less demand. So in theory, the automobile is going to change the political situations around the world and the Middle East. Do you ever think about it like that?
That's the great irony, isn't it? That,
yeah.
The more electric cars we have, the lower demand for oil, you would hope, the lower the price will be. Though, of course, look what's happened lately. There's a glut of oil. They can't find places to store it, and gas prices are going up again.
Right. Well, listen, I think we all know what that is. That's the manipulation of the marketplace. They're just, you know, summer's here, and they're just, for whatever reason, and if we ask the politicians why... Just my opinion, conjecture. If we ask the politicians why, they'll tell us that, hey, you know, it's just all about summertime volatility and changes in blends of fuel and all the other reasons they come up with. But it's all about making money while they can, and we'll see if that changes or not. So, but anyway, listen, as always, sir, it's always a pleasure to talk to you, and I'm glad you took some time out, and you keep us abreast. I enjoy the website, and if the listeners haven't gotten out to the DetroitBureau.com, they should, because you guys have it going on. You've got the most updated, constantly changing, best news source of the auto industry as far as I'm concerned.
Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
So you take good care, Paul, and have a good rest of the weekend.
Thank you, too.
Bye-bye. Bye. I'm Ron Ananian, the Car Doctor. We are back right after this.